people who are shooting up. Here's one: fuck safe, shoot clean. Santa Cruz Needle Exchange. Do not inject vitamin C. Get a free orange when you exchange your points at any one of our sites. Vitamin C prevents veins from collapsing, helps cuts and scrapes heal faster, reduces the harmful effect of the cut in drugs. Because, of course, people on heroin are always struggling to get more money to buy more heroin and frequently are going through withdrawal. You can imagine how people were during prohibition with alcohol, similar situation where large numbers of people were on DTs. And here's a flyer: watch for warning signs of wound botulism. Symptoms may include: first alert, it affects the head, both eyelids get droopy, blurred or double vision, dry, sore throat. Second phase, paralysis spreads down the body, difficulty speaking and swallowing, weakness in neck, arms, and legs. How a doctor can help you get well: prescribe an antitoxin, antibiotics, a respirator will help you breathe. In other words, these are pieces of advice to young people who are heroin users, who are needle users. And I guess the question I would have for those who simply want to close their eyes to all this and simply have police run around and arrest every drug dealer they can find and simply believe that will resolve the problem is, what do you do with people with these medical problems? What do you do with the reality that people continue to use these drugs, that the underground culture continues to flourish? Well, the answer of the Nancy Reaganites is just say no. The answer of the folks who want to ban abortion is, you know, oh, just no need to have sex education. Just make sure folks don't get together. You know, that's the way to deal with it. Well, in the studio with me, I have the woman who did that interview with Heather of the Needle Exchange Program, Becky Johnson. And Heather has been kind of, I mean, Becky has been sort of checking things out on her own. And Becky, you've been investigating needle exchange and I guess talking to potential city council candidates like Pat Clark on the streets. What can you tell us that you can elaborate on what we've heard so far in this interview that you had?
I see that you have gotten the forbidden literature and read it on the air already.
Is that forbidden?
Yes, apparently that you have gotten the censored literature, which the Santa Cruz Police Department doesn't want you or young people on the street to get a hold of and read. They have taken this attitude that because they believe it promotes drug use, that it can be banned. And the person leading the charge, I have been told, is Sergeant Colleen McMahon of our Santa Cruz Police Department.
Sergeant McMahon, for those of you who are downtown a bit, is the young red-haired sergeant who, I guess she has a downtown beat. I'm not sure. I haven't seen too much of her recently. But why do you say she's banning this? Have you seen her banning this? Have people reported to you that they've had literature taken from them? What makes you say this?
Oh, well, I got a report, and I really don't want to go into my source on this, but that she was the one who had kind of came and directly spoke to members of Needle Exchange and told them specifically what literature she did not want them to be distributing. Which is, I think it's outrageous if this is true, because it's censorship by our police department. The other thing that we learned was that at the Santa Cruz Health Department, one of the head honchos there is Betsy McCarty. I think she's like a chief of public health. Maybe have her title a little bit wrong, but and she's a registered nurse, and we've seen Betsy McCarty before, Robert. She spoke about the great need for a youth curfew. She spoke about the wonders of fluoride in your water. And more recently, you remember in the Button Street shooting, Betsy McCarty said that the police were behaved wonderfully, admirably, because they had such wonderful domestic violence protocols to follow. And she commended the police in the Button Street shooting of Brian Andrus. So now, you know, here it is, Betsy McCarty again. Oh, I also heard that she's, there's the HIV consortium or something, there are like 50 members, and they will have a resolution they'll want to pass, and it'll get 49-1. And that one is Betsy McCarty. Betsy McCarty is out of step in Santa Cruz County. She does not represent where the vast majority of people in Santa Cruz are on these issues. I think most people realize that needle exchange performs a vital function in saving lives. Just think of it. You know, you're injecting a virus directly into your veins. You're bypassing your entire body's immune system. What an easy way to get a deadly disease, and how preventable it is. And we're talking low tech here. This is not anything that anyone who's had a minimum of medical education knows about. Clean needles are vital to prevent disease, whether the substance being injected is heroin or whether it's any other substance.
So you've heard anonymously or from sort of sources that you don't wish to disclose that Sergeant McMahon has taken these pieces of literature that you gave to me before the show, and there are about 10 of them. They're colorful, they're pink, they're orange, they're blue, they're little kind of pieces of paper. One's called Getting Well 2, Overdosing. If you inject drugs, one of the biggest risks you run is overdosing because you deliver a potentially deadly drug to the brain at high speed. And on the back it says you can reduce the risk of overdosing by, one, being exactly sure what drug you're injecting, being sure about the strength of your supply, not returning to the same dose of drug after a break because your tolerance may have changed, never fixing alone or in a place you won't be found, by fixing any new supply in two separate hits, knowing what to do if someone overdoses, what to do about an overdose. If you can't wake the person up and keep them awake, then their life is in danger. Lie them in the recovery position and call an ambulance.
And here's the little picture of
the recovery position, which is on your stomach with your one of your knees up. This is pro-drug literature? I don't think so. This sounds to me like I'd be less likely to inject drugs after reading this, but perhaps if I did inject drugs, I might, in a crisis, know more quickly what to do.
This literature was prepared by drug addicts for drug addicts as part of the Exeter Project, and it's thought, and I'm sure there's some truth to it, that for drug addicts to listen to public education messages, they have to be receptive, and they'd be most receptive to other people who are also drug addicts and have been there and done it and have some knowledge. And this is really, it reminds me of the whole sex education debate, Robert, where it's thought, well, if people have knowledge about sexual activity, it will just lead to experimentation. Then the next thing you know, we'll have, you know, pregnant teenagers all over the place. And where the evidence weighs in on the other side.
It's the reefer madness argument, you know. You want to present wild, crazy tales with little information and hope that all will go well, and if they don't, well, it's a moral fault, and if they do, you just arrest them. I mean, if things go poorly, it's the fault of the individuals, not the fault of those who have enforced ignorance in the situation. Anyway, needle exchange is obviously having some problems. Do I understand then that they were directed and have decided to agree not to distribute these flyers, or rather that they're simply feeling police pressure not to do that?
I believe that they have stopped distributing them.
So I think we should start laying the corpses right in front of the police department, folks. Now the police are not only arresting people for sleeping, harassing people for sitting down, but now they can be directly held responsible for deaths from the illnesses that result from needle exchange, for lack of needle exchange, whether that be AIDS or cholera or other illnesses that are spread by dirty needles and dirty water. I mean, this is really incredible that that a so-called enlightened police department is doing this. Is this coming from the top, or simply is Sergeant McMahon taking action herself?
Well, she's doing it in concert with the Santa Cruz Public Health Department and this Betsy McCarty. Yeah. I just wanted people to be aware that if we're a public health risk, yes, HIV is the one that people think of, but probably the biggest risk to the public would be from hepatitis B, which is so readily spread, and hepatitis A, which is does not need, you don't need a needle for that. So if addicts are spreading hepatitis, then that could spread to the general public much more readily. And that's, you know, the risk of not having a needle exchange program. We know that in the West Coast, where needle exchange programs have flourished much more readily than they have on the East Coast, that the transmissions of both hepatitis and HIV has been greatly curtailed compared to the East Coast, where there's been a lot more pressure against needle exchange programs, and they've had correspondingly high infection rates. You know, and these deaths don't, it's not just the addict that could suffer. It could be the addict's lovers and husband or wife.
It's kind of a strange hypocrisy to see all this concern about the death of a 15-year-old, yet no concern about the people who are still alive. These aren't addicts, these are kids. I mean, yeah, they're addicts, but they're also kids, many of them. And it's just, it's mind-boggling. Of course, it's part of the national policy, as we know. Clinton has refused to endorse his own scientific commission's findings that the needle exchange stops the transmission of illness, and it does not have a reinforcing effect on drug use. So it's kind of, but I mean, this is Santa Cruz. We aren't, I mean, does Clinton run Santa Cruz? Does Sergeant McMahon run the city council? Interestingly enough, I heard from Valerie Corral earlier today. She's the head of WAM, Women and Men's Alliance for Medical Marijuana. Thanks, Becky. That she is seeking to get, and there'll be a resolution introduced at the next city council meeting, which is next Tuesday, and by the way, the last city council meeting for a month, after which the Gang of Seven disperses and then returns in September to do its work on the beach flats. More about that anon. Anyway, this city council meeting, Valerie tells me the city council is going to be presenting a resolution that will, in essence, deputize WAM care providers and decriminalize marijuana on a citywide level for WAM as a care provider, because they are in fact the only medical, I think they're the only medical marijuana club left. I know that the cannabis club was closed, the one on Maple Street. I think there may be a much smaller club. I've heard it mentioned in other circles. They're never on the streets of Santa Cruz. But we don't hear anything from the city council about needle exchange. I mean, what do we have to do? Start shooting up in the front row of the city council to get some attention here? I don't know. What do you think, Becky?
I was reminded also that the drop-in center, which is on Front Street, where Needle Exchange performs its counseling services, and that has been under attack as well, that there are rumors that the Downtown Association doesn't want the drop-in center downtown. Of course, that's where, you know, it's across from the bus station, and where a lot of, you know, certainly accessible, and where a lot of young people can come and go. And I don't know, you get a program that's working well and interfacing well and doing a lot of good, and then it gets this kind of pressure.
Well, I suggest to those of you who want to support this program, give a call to the Santa Cruz Needle Exchange at 427-4557, 427-4557. Ask how you can volunteer to help, and just tell them, even if you can't volunteer, that you think they're doing a fine job, if you do. And also call City Council at 429-3550, 429-3550, and tell City Council that you want them to support decriminalization of needle exchange and to call off the bigoted and ignorant philosophy that is motivating police officers like if what we're told is true, Sergeant McMahon. I don't know. Maybe
Betsy McCarty. And don't forget Betsy McCarty at the Santa Cruz Public Health Department.
Well, I don't know about Betsy in terms of the city council because she's a county official, but I guess you could call the Board of Supervisors and talk to them about that. Supervisors meets every Tuesday, as does the city council every other Tuesday. City council actually had a meeting last Tuesday where they talked about the uses of the Poganip and came up with a compromise which will allow the homeless garden project some access there, allow bicycles, I guess, less access and hikers more access. And I actually had a rather extensive report on that subject from that man about city council, David Silva, who often reports for my free radio show here. But unfortunately, we don't have incoming phone lines because we need some money to pay the phone bills. So we can't really get him on the line to get his opinion and his expertise. But possibly on the Sunday show, I will have a tape for you which describes what happened at that city council meeting. It sounds like it may have been a victory, though for my money, of course, it was no victory for the homeless who need a campground and have been seeking for a decade to get a campground at Sycamore Grove or some small area in the Poganip or somewhere in Santa Cruz to no avail, and can't even get the city council liberals, Celia Scott and Catherine Byers, to put on the agenda a change in the sleeping ban until there is such a campground, making it decriminalizing sleeping until such time as there is a legal place for Santa Cruz's 500 to 1,500 homeless people to sleep. You would think that they would do what the federal courts have done in Miami and in Fort Lauderdale, or at least have that standard. I mean, we're talking about the South, and not a terribly liberal area. The courts have ruled you can't arrest people for sleeping unless there's some place for them to sleep, somewhere that's legal. And Santa Cruz has steadfastly, not only have Santa Cruz refused to adopt this position, the city council, mainly under the influence of Mike Rotkin, who's the swing vote there, but also liberals like Celia Scott, Catherine Byers, have refused to come out in favor of this publicly with any kind of initiative at city council. And in fact, during the sleeping ban repeal initiative, which fell short of signatures after 6 months of signature gathering in, I guess it was May, they refused to come out in support of that repeal initiative either. Becky?
You know, we didn't have a single initiative that did qualify for the ballot this year. The pedestrian mall initiative fell short. The, I guess the fluoride initiative. I haven't heard about that. It's still being circulated.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's still on the table. I don't want to nix it. But the Pelton Street initiative, while they had sufficient signatures, they thought didn't qualify. There were, you know, like three or four initiatives. None of them. Ours probably was the best organized. And we did not qualify. But I wanted to tell you about what's coming up here on July 31st. Where, as you recall, on June 29th, we had Don't Sleep Tonight Night, Robert. And that was pretty grueling for those of us that took part in it. And if you just want to really feel rotten, try that. Try to go without sleeping between 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m. And we had so much fun doing that and attempting, albeit unsuccessfully, to comply with Mike Rotkin's law, that we decided to do on July 31st, for Don't Sleep Tonight Night. We're asking people to do one of two things, or both. There's a way of doing it. If you're indoors, go to bed, go to sleep, but don't use a blanket. Just stay, somehow find a way to sleep without using your quiltie or your blankie. Try to sleep, but only between 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m. 8:31, if you want to use your blanket, go ahead. And get all your sleeping in ahead of time, you know, if you like your blanket. So we're asking that for the people indoors. But outdoors, we're asking people to commit civil disobedience in their driveways, Robert. We want people to get their lawn chairs out in their driveways and cover up with a blanket. Now, it's 11, the stroke of 11, wrap up, go out in front of your house, and it is illegal for you to wrap up, even if you're on your own private property. It's the law. And so it's kind of a dumb law. We kind of like to break it to show how ridiculous it is. And so we're asking people to do that. And anybody who wants to tell us in advance that they're planning on doing this, so we can have a little advance publicity on it, give us a call. You can call me. I'm at 429-8529. Or if you're one of the lucky few who have email, you could contact me that way too as well. I'm at I am Woman of Steel, and that's WMNOFSTL, all one word, at cruzio.com. And so are you going to be hanging out in the driveway on the 31st, Robert?
I have no idea, but I will certainly make some citizen's arrest if anyone is so bold as to violate the law.
I thought maybe when we're out in our driveway that we might want to, you know, feel guilty about breaking the law and everything, because since we all want to be law-abiding people, and that maybe we should get on our telephones and call the police department and confess.
Well, do consider that on July 31st. And on July 25th, there's a festival with a beat to aid homeless teens coming up. That's in the parking lot of Union Grove Music at 1003 Pacific, right across from the Metro on Pacific. Part of famed drummer Jim Griner's ongoing performances, a conga drum will be raffled off with all proceeds from the $5 tickets going to Above the Line. Or is it Below the Belt? I know, I must be Above the Line, an organization that provides services for homeless teenagers in the Santa Cruz area. This is the much ballyhooed project to set up a homeless shelter for teens that so far has been homeless in spite of endless fundraising appeals. And I don't want to sound too cynical, because I've been in touch with a woman who's trying to do it, Kimberly Carter. Hope to have a longer report from her on what's happening with that. Unfortunately, I never heard her speak out against the curfew or other youth laws, laws affecting youth. I'd like to see her speak out in favor of needle exchange. That certainly impacts youth here, and not simply be running around panhandling the Downtown Association for more money to get people out of town, which is in essence what this program is at the moment. But anyway, that is the July 25th Drumming Festival, and I want to remind you again that on July 25th, I will probably be down at Monterey City Hall Park at 1 o'clock at Pacific and Madison Streets doing the Stop the California Broadcasters Association Attack on Free Speech and Micro-Broadcasting Power. That is the attack on the free radio stations, like the ones you're listening to. We'll be leaving from Santa Cruz around noon. I'll be running by the town clock to wave at people and snicker at them because they haven't got their own transportation. And if we have any room, we'll try to get you in. But you should give a call to 423-4833 if you want to genuinely be a part of this and really reserve a space. That's a demonstration against the California Association of Broadcasters. These are the multi-million dollar money bags boys who are so paranoid about the airwaves, so possessive and so greedy that they don't want little stations like this to have any access whatsoever. For more information, give a call to 423-4833, 423-HUFF.
Sometimes at night, we almost speak in friendly terms. Sometimes at night, we go to sleep in separate beds. Sometimes at night, we take our places at the table. In the morning with the family, and our faces are as innocent as lambs. the tube and curse our fate. Sometimes at night, sometimes at night, we never give in to temptation, never striking when the family's there, 'cause we live in constant fear that we'll be seen. We're only in it, we're only in it, we're only in it for the children. We're only in it, we're only in it, we're only in it for the children. We'll take the family on vacation when we think we need our change, and we'll cease the accusations with a smile. There'll be no reconciliation when the kids are out of range, and we'll lose the affections for a while. Sometimes at night, we grit our teeth, we grit our teeth, and try to dream. Sometimes at night, sometimes at night, we spare the rod, we spare the rod, to spoil our lives. Sometimes at night, sometimes at night, we know exactly what we're doing, and we'll hide it from the family bear, and we'll act like nothing's wrong until they're gone. We're only in it, we're only in it, we're only in it for the children. We're only in it, we're only in it, we're only in it for the children.
That's Uncle Banzai, In It for the Children, from Boys Like Sex in the Morning. Free Radio Santa Cruz is what you like, we hope. You're at 96.3 FM. Our normal phone lines are down, but you can leave a message for Free Radio at 427-4523. You can leave a message for me. I'm Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norris, broadcaster of this twice-weekly program. It's on civil rights here in Santa Cruz, and that's 423-HUFF, 423-4833. HUFF is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, if you're interested in an organization that for a decade has been fighting for civil rights for poor people. So you might look into that. In Berkeley, there has been a successful struggle to turn back a law like we have in Santa Cruz that makes it illegal for people to sit down off to the side on the sidewalk. This law, called the sitting ban, was passed in 1994, overturned by the courts, and finally thrown out by the city council in 1997. Merchants are now trying to bring it back on Telegraph by circulating a petition, and in a kind of a secret deal with the city manager, police were shoveled $79,000 in overtime for a month in a program called Operation AvWatch, which I've discussed on the show, which essentially sent out police, mental health teams, animal control people, a big green machine called the street sweeper that was used not to clean up the streets in a physical way, but to specifically target groups of people the police felt were detracting from the neighborhood, to wit, young people, homeless people, counterculture people on Telegraph Avenue. Of course, that's a rather short-sighted view, as we've talked about before, just as it is here in Santa Cruz on the Pacific Mall, because a lot of the reason people come to our city, to Berkeley, is because of the population that is here, not because we can compete with the Fremont Shopping Mall or the Carmel scene, but rather because we are what we are here, because there's a very special and distinctive flavor, and in Berkeley, similarly. Anyway, I went to two Police Review Commission meetings. They meet every Wednesday night, for those of you who ever get up to Berkeley. And if you're interested in those meetings, give a call to 423-HUFF. I can give you more information. The Berkeley Police Review Commission is substantially stronger than the complete joke, which is the Citizens Police Review Board here in Santa Cruz. But they have been weak in recent years. However, in the last month, they have shown their teeth and stood up and demanded that Operation AvWatch end. In essence, they've spoken out against the sitting ban, and they've sent people up to Telegraph Avenue. We're going to play a bit of an interview tape that Actually, what we're going to start with here is not the interviews. We're going to start with hearings that the Police Review Commission held in which people spoke out about abuses on Telegraph Avenue. We'll play some of that, and then we're going to play an interview with Berkeley Police Review Commissioner Claire Zellman, who's interested in finding ways to make sure that now that the sitting ban has been defeated, that the police actually are made to obey the law and stop harassing people for sitting on the sidewalk, something the police have done traditionally, whether there's a law or not, even after the city council has defeated a law, even after the courts have thrown out a law, even after the people have rejected a law, the police are still there enforcing what they consider to be the will of their masters, the downtown merchants. Let's hear what the Berkeley